Right, I'm going to be with Dr. Roger Lear this Sunday as he and a group of people introduce Jordan Maxwell for a special event. And he, of course, is, I would say, the father of alien implants. You've done some work in that area, too, and you say we're not hearing too much about them anymore. How come?
Because they're obsolete now. I worked a lot in that field. They started happening probably in the late 70s, went through the early 80s, and started dying out in the 90s. And, you know, I worked with Bud Hopkins. I listened, you know, he did all the, I know he's been on your show a million
Absolutely,
times.
Absolutely, yeah.
With all the hypnotic regressions. But the bottom line was we had a program in MK Ultra, not we, but they, and I wasn't part of it, that pretty much traumatized people. It was part of the Manchurian Candidate program that Candy Jones was involved with and John Neville. I used to be on his show.
The old talk show host.
Yeah, I was on his show. Art Bell used to be on his show. We were both on there. I used to talk to Candy on the phone. I didn't know she was a former Manchurian Candidate. But anyway, they developed a process of hypnosis where the person would develop, they would think they were being abducted by an alien. This would be, they used the Manchurian Candidate stuff, electroshock, all the different things to make this person have this experience. And so then the implant would be installed in the human body, and it was installed. The process is like a holographic projector. It's like if you're familiar with how they make integrated circuits, they have like a projector that puts an image down on what's called a mask, and the mask, of course, then mask produces it. So it's an image in a computer that actually produces something. And this would be layered onto the human brain, and it would produce circuitry that would run off the neural circuits in the brain. And then what they would do, they would activate these people would be implanted, and then they would go about their business, and they would be controlled, basically going back to the early, MK Ultra programs that they had. So then they would be controlled sometimes remotely, not much from satellite, but some satellite stuff. This was back when the MISTI satellite was starting to come into fruition in the mid-90s.
Well, just imagine then what they can do now.
Oh, I'll tell you what they can do now. But the bottom line was, in the case of Charles Whitman in 1982 or 84, he got up there on the school tower in Austin, Texas, and shot 14 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they used this to deregulate our and to get rid of certain kind of assault weapons. And they used it in many different traumatic situations. They activated these implants to cause things to happen so that we would lose our constitutional freedoms. That was the basic program there. And you can see it if you look at it from pull yourself back and look at all the incidents. I studied most of them. There's many, many. You'll see how that all started to work.
They say the Unabomber, Theodore Kaczynski, was part of that. Is that
true? Yeah, I'm sure
you think
he was.
So?
Brilliant guy up in the middle of nowhere. His brother, I guess, turned him in. But, same thing. But where I was involved with that was that a lot of my clients at the time were labs, like radiology labs. And so I go to these different radiology labs, and I talk to these radiologists, and they say, yeah, we pulled this thing out of this lady or out. And they usually pulled it out of the back of the neck, or not too much in the head, because that was a difficult place, or on the leg. You could put them anywhere, and they'd run pretty much a long time, you know, as long as you had a good amount of electricity in your body. And you should see the new ones that they use in the Tamiflu stuff now. The injections they're like a little tiny, like a tiny grain of salt. That's the newest stuff because they're using nanotechnology now. You ask me where.
Now you're convinced that they are putting little chips in flu vaccines?
Yep. Yes, sir. I am. Not all of them, but some of them. It's new. They're having a problem getting the vaccine out there, but yes, I do believe that. I've studied nanotechnology for quite a number of years, and it's just not a problem now. We work with one atom at a time. And these things have a pretty good range, probably several hundred feet, and they can be picked up on cell phone towers and these kinds of things. They run in those frequency ranges. And so they can monitor people. It's another monitoring system. You know, I'm not paranoid about it. I'll never get a flu shot. But, they're doing that now.
They're that small to fit through a needle?
Yep.
Jeez.
Look it up. Study it. It's there.
I will.
And when I come to lunch, I'll bring you some information on it. How's that?
Just don't bring me an injection. That's all.
Oh, God. You've ruined the whole lunch.
Don't do that.
I was going to show you my secret
Couple more calls here before next hour we'll take more. Port Angeles, Washington, west of the Rockies. Tom, go ahead. You're on with Fred Bell.
Tommy. Hey, Doc, thanks for giving me a minute.
Okay, Tommy.
I've been rereading eugenics all the way back to Galton and Darwin.
Okay.
And then doing the history all the way up to pre-war Germany, 1929, 38, and then what happened after the war.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff to that that is not reflected at all in the educational system. I certainly never got any of it. I doubt you. You might have because you're like 60. George might know more a lot about it. But there was so much still going on there. And then all that gets reflected in today's day and age is just, you know, that set of horrible circumstances that happened in Germany, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like those two generations, those two or three generations prior to the war, was a nexus for genius.
Yeah, they were.
And inventive spirit.
Yeah, they developed the different kinds of transmitters and receivers. They had the genetics to go with it. It was amazing what they did, and then it continued on into Merck and all the different companies today. They're doing it more through chemistry, and then they align it with these satellites. It's amazing when you get the big picture. When I wrote my book, I presented all of that. We obviously can't cover it tonight, but I laid it all out. It's all here in this book. Yeah, it's very true, and you're right on. And that's when it really took off, was World War II. But,
well, I just really can't help but think we might want to slide back towards that because it didn't disappear until the 70s completely, right?
No.
And we might want to push that for a while again because, you know, just being healthy, you know, being smart. I never saw it as trying to, like, embedder, you know, like to make, you know, people more intelligent and to make people better, right? It was just to try to maintain where we're supposed to be. That's what I see in the whole research that I did. Staying good.
Yeah, if we didn't have all of this ELF and all of these chemicals in the water, radiation in the water, and all this stuff, and we would be a more advanced society, and we'd be much more conscious. This stuff retards our growth, spiritual growth process.
That's part of it.
Yeah, and these guys thought they could be immune from it. That's the telling thing is the guys that did this stuff, you know, they thought they were immune from it. But they're not, and their families are part of it. And now they're starting. It's starting to goes around, comes around. It just takes a while.